Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Without our traditions, our lives would be as shaky as a finger on the roof.
Indeed, Fiddler on the Roof, playing at the Cadillac Palace through January 6th. Anybody who knows me knows this is my favorite musical of all time. Never get tired of it. It was actually the biggest Broadway hit in its day when it premiered in 1964 and held that record until Grease came along many, many years later. I wonder if my guests even knew that. We're going to find out. Joining me to talk about the production of Fiddler going on now in Chicago, which you do not want to miss, is Maite Uzal, who plays Golda. Tevye, of course, the main character. His wife, also a main character, Maite Uzal, joins us. Maite, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And playing their younger daughter, Chava, is Natalie Powers, one of the, of course, there's five daughters, but three of them kind of really shine through in the show that we see so much. And Seidel and Huddle and Chava. Ah, my guests now know I really know this show. Natalie Powers, welcome to the podcast to you as well.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So it's a classic show, one of the best of all kind. History tells us, by the way, that one of the producers didn't even want to produce it because he said this thing will never make it, and we don't want to present it to small, what he said was, small groups of B'nai B'rith members from time to time before we close. Well, couldn't have been more wrong. Maite, let me ask you, playing the iconic role of Golda, tell me a little bit about this show. It is about your husband, Tevye, but for folks who somehow don't know about it, what is Fiddler on the Roof all about?
Fiddler on the Roof is a story about our family, on the one hand. Tevye, the dairyman of fictional 1905 Jewish community, Anatevka, has five daughters, and we struggle to marry them off. We have, in this task, we encounter some generational conflicts, old ways versus new ways. And then there's an outer conflict happening with the Russian community, who is not very happy that we're there. And it's a story about the struggles of the family and the struggles of the Jewish community who become eventually refugees. So that's what it's all about.
And in many, of course, I like what you said. So Natalie, who plays Chava, you're one of the daughters she's having trouble getting rid of, apparently. And
yes.
Right. No, actually, you're the one they don't want to see go. We won't say what happens to Chava, but I mean, she's fine. But it's an interesting part of the story. But do you find, Natalie, that this story today, as much as it's been around for, I don't know, somewhere near 60 years, something like that, I find it as powerful today in the times in which we live. I'm not turning political on you, but I find that the story is as powerful today as it may have been when the show first opened.
Yes, I find it to be incredibly relevant, especially my story, which I won't give anything away, but that she kind of chooses to go off the normal path and pick something that she loves and leads with love and ends up being not punished, but kind of chastised for doing something out of love. And that sometimes, even in today's climate, we have moments of just doing things out of love and ending up having consequences that we never anticipated. And I think this is a beautiful story about how a family can be separated and come back together.
Absolutely. The music of this show, so beautiful. We're not going to get to hear all the music. We came in singing Tradition, and of course there's If I Were a Rich Man, which I'm known to do at the drop of a hat at anybody's party, and Wonder of Wonders, Miracle of Miracles, on and on with the great show. Of course, To Life, but we're going to play that a little bit later. But Maite, let me ask you, to me these are iconic roles, and in the role of Tevye, you know, Zero Mostel created it on Broadway, and Chaim Topol created it in the movie. Do you guys, because the film, the Broadway shows have been around so long, but certainly the film that many people have seen. Is there any pressure on you to sort of match up to what it was? Or is this, it's a new day, it's 2018, 2019, and this is our version of Fiddler on the Roof, Maite?
Well, there is pressure, but for me, and I think I feel that for the rest of the cast too, but let me just talk about from my experience.
Sure.
The pressure comes more from the fact that we want to honor these characters as they have been written, because they are great parts. They are iconic roles and great parts because they have been written so well. So the pressure comes from the fact that we want to rise up to those magnificent parts. And as our director said, Bartlett Chair, he said at the beginning of rehearsals that great parts make great actors. And that's where the pressure comes from for me, to honor the role and to be true to what has been written. Not so much because pressure comes from other people who have played it in the past. Actually, that is only helpful, if anything, to have an example and to have people to feed off from if I have found it useful in some aspects. So that's what it is for me. That's where the pressure comes from, because it's a great part. It's a huge responsibility in that aspect.
And I totally agree with you. Natalie, of course, I'll ask you the same question as far as playing these iconic roles, but I'll do it with this twist to it. Talk to me about the relationship. The three main sisters, I mean, there is, you know, Bilka and Ghetto, there's younger sisters. We don't see much of them. But when it comes to Zeitl, the oldest, and Chava, and Huddle, the middle girl, and Chava, you each go off in your own directions. I mean, we open with the song Tradition because nothing gets challenged more throughout the course of this musical than Tevye's view of what it means to be living tradition. Talk a little bit about the relationship between the sisters and, to the extent you can, how they really bring the meanings of tradition to challenge.
Yeah, I think each sister has a beautiful, different story. Bart liked to explain it in a way where he says, you know, the first daughter goes off and she breaks a little bit off of the tradition. The second daughter, she kind of shakes the foundation a little bit more. And then Chava comes in and kind of shatters what he knows as tradition, that it's a bit of a build. So they each are doing something revolutionary in the moment they're doing it. It just has a larger build as it goes on. And he liked to say, too, he read a quote to me about a well-read woman is a dangerous creature, about the fact that I always have books, and that Chava, by being the intellect and the one who's reading, happens to be the one who kind of shatters that foundation because she knows so much. And I think it's really beautiful how you see Seidel leading with love and going with this boy that she's known who becomes a man, and chooses this life of maybe being poor because she married a man who's a tailor. And then you get Huddle, who chooses a life of activism and also possibly being poor her whole life. And then Chava also leading with love and choosing a completely different way of life, that they're all similar and different in terms of they lead with love and they all want to choose a life they'll be happy with in the end. But whether or not they control it, it shakes the tradition and Tevye's whole world upside down.
Yeah, you know, the story itself, of course, is based on a series of stories by Shalom Aleichem. It was called Tevye's Daughters, and which I'm sure
yes.
You know. And so it was so many stories put together in this one show, so incredibly well done. And Maite, I'll ask you, as you go through this, what is it for so many years? As I said, I saw Fiddler when it first came out, and I'll see it with you guys as well. What is it about this show that you think has such staying power that you can't even say it gets dated, because it is set in a moment in time, as you said, 1905. So that's when it's set. But nevertheless, the messages of this show, they just have lived on through time.
Yes, and I think that's a common trait of every piece that has become a classic. It's that it's relevant to humanity wherever you put it in history, because the message is universal. And there's the message that Fiddler wants to convey. Well, there are several, but There's always going to be a struggle in humankind between old ways and new ways. There's always going to be a struggle between people who see other people as the other and how they interact, a lot of times out of fear, out of the lack of knowledge. And I think those two things will always be relevant in throughout humanity and throughout the years, and they have always been since the beginning of times, and they will always continue to be. And leading, like Natalie said before, making the choice of leading with love in life, wherever that path, wherever that may take you, is also something that everybody can connect to. So that's why, even though this is set in 1905, it's just extremely relevant, and I think it'll continue to be relevant throughout the years.
And to this day, no matter how many times I see it, there are moments that bring me to tears. The wedding scene, the end, and I will say that one of the final scenes with Chava. And Natalie, I have to ask you, and I could ask both of you, of all the guests I could have on this podcast, you are the two women I would want to ask this question to, but I'll come to you, Natalie, because this is a story as well about strong women, right? Not every woman in this show can be seen to be that strong. Certainly Golda is, and certainly Chava is.
I actually had a really interesting question a week ago about who do you think is the most damaged by tradition in an interview. And it was very interesting because it was brought up that Golda, although she's so incredibly strong and so quiet about it, is probably the one who's affected most and has to stand and watch everything happen. And I think Chava as well is one of those characters that she doesn't see herself as a victim of circumstance, but by choosing these things that she loves, ends up being damaged by tradition and by this thing that they love so much. And I think that's a characteristic too of strong women, is knowing that you are putting yourself out there to possibly get hurt and still doing what you think is right. And I think that's huge, and Golda especially, because, you know, she knows exactly what Tevye wants and tries to make him happy. And I don't really want to speak for Maite, but, you know, it's like I watch her and admire her so greatly because so many mothers do that. And I think maybe that's why it's so relatable, is that mothers do what's best for their partners and for their kids. And sometimes they have to make a choice between the two and it tears them apart. And you really see that in the end. And I won't give anything away, but just the bond between Golda and Chava because of that moment of tradition being torn apart, but the mother having to tend to Tevye and take care of him as well as her. It's just so beautiful.
It is a beautiful. It's one of those moments that brings me to tears every time I see it in Maite. When I think of Golda being so strong in one of these final scenes, certain things we can say. People are being forced out of their home of Anatevka. That is part of what happens in the show. But there is a scene near the end where Mom and Dad, Golda and Tevye, are interacting with daughter Chava, and it's so wonderful to see the character of Tevye, who is strong. I am the father of the house. I am the head of the family, as he likes to say. Maite, then your character Golda actually shows underneath it all, no, she's the head of the house. At least that's the way I see it.
yes, and I totally agree with Natalie in what she said. The thing is that for me, there's a before and an after. Before Chava leaves and after Chava leaves. For me, and just like Natalie so well said, we tend to think that people who are strong, you know, never show emotion and they stand there, you know, unmoved and just not touched. And I think that strength really means putting yourself out there and being vulnerable. That's what takes the most strength. And Golda does it because she is really torn between her duties as a wife and also a mother of other four kids and Chava. And for me, after Chava leaves, Golda is a different woman in that a part of her is actually dead because she loses her child. like she, because her daughter is dead, and so when she comes back into the barn, she has lost a part of herself, and she has to live with that. She has to tend to her husband, and in that scene that you were mentioning between them, and farther along when Chava comes back, to me it's as if someone had been resurrected from the dead. Like, I thought that I had lost my child forever. But then again, immediately I sense that pain in Tevye and his stubbornness, and how he has also made the choice that there is no other hand. And I am literally ripped apart and torn between the departure of my child and the rest of my family with whom I have to stay with and choose to leave our village. So I would say that Golde is greatly, greatly damaged by tradition, like Natalie said before, too.
And I'm right there with you feeling it, so I hope that helps. This show, choreography by Jerome Robbins, Sheldon Harnick, Jerry Bock. I mean, it is such an amazing show. When I saw it back on the schedule for Broadway in Chicago, I could not be happier. I did see it, of course, in New York with Danny Burstein and the cast there, and so happy that it is touring the country as it deserves to do. I thank you, Natalie Powers, Maite Uzal, Chava Golda, for joining me. The show is at the Cadillac Palace. It's running through January 6th. Don't miss this show. It's one of the classic Broadway shows of all time. And as I said, it's really one in my top five. And I've seen a lot of shows in my life. I want to thank you. We came in with tradition, but I think the best way to go out of the interview and for me to thank you is to toast you, to say to life and indeed, L'chaim. Well, and now let's shift over to the Broadway Playhouse, something very, very different in the theater experience, if you ask me. It's a show that it's come from time to time over the period of years. It is called Stomp. As I say, it's at the Broadway Playhouse. It's playing through December 30th. And joining me now, one of the stars, one of the performers in Stomp, Artis Olds. Wanted to talk to him because he is indeed a Chicago native. Got his degree at Central State University, and he's all about percussion in his career that leads up, perhaps, to this show. Artis, welcome to the podcast. And fair enough to say that your background in percussion is what you need to be successful in Stomp.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been helpful. You know, what I do love about this show, though, is, you know, it's such a unique show. We have folks who have all different kinds of backgrounds. So, you know, you have some people who are dancers, some people who are percussionists, some people who are actors, some people who just saw a long line outside of a theater and decided to jump in and see what happens. And, you know, all of that brings us to have this awesome show that we call Stomp.
And so for folks who have never seen the show, I mean, it's been here a few times, and it's the kind of thing people go to over and over again, because why not? It really is all about the percussion. It's almost like once you see the show, you look at a garbage can cover, you look at a broom, there's nothing you could look at anymore and not see it as a potential musical percussion instrument. Has that happened in your life as a result?
Oh yeah. You know, my friends have gotten to the point where they can actually tune me out at this point because I'm tapping on everything I can get my hands on. But, you know, it's also really cool. One of the things that I love doing after a show is sometimes I will sneak out of the stage door and just kind of listen to people as they're walking away. And I love to see adults, children, everyone in between, you know, kind of tapping at garbage cans or, you know, slapping their legs and stomping their feet as they leave the theater, just, you know, enjoying the music that's all around them and, you know, that they've now discovered is kind of in these everyday objects. That's really, really cool.
And the show itself was created by Luke Cresswell and Steve McNicholas. Are they still involved in these current iterations of the show?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, they've done such a fantastic job of writing the show and writing it in a way that 25 years later, it's still so relevant and still impacts audiences in the way that it does. They both were actually here in Chicago not too long ago to check the show out and everything. And, you know, it's always really a pleasure to have them around. They have so much insight and have, you know, given so much to make this a show that people can continue to enjoy. So we're really, really fortunate and lucky to have them come out and let us know how things are going and give us new things from time to time.
Which means I have to ask you this. That's also a little pressure, right? When you got the guys who've created the show and they're watching you do it during the, when you know you're, they're there, do you have that moment on stage where you're going, oh crap, man, these guys, they're watching me. They created this. I got to come through. Or do you just do your thing and not worry about it?
You know, I think you just do your thing. You know, every show should, it's pretty much the same. You go out there, you have a great time. They're going to tell you how great a time they had watching it. You know, and you just kind of go and have some fun. That's what Stomp is all about.
You've done a lot of stuff. You've worked with Kanye, right? I mean, you've done some great things in your life, but this seems a little bit different. You work with John Legend, The Roots. This is a little different in your background.
Yeah. So I think that what really drew me to Stomp is the body percussion aspect of it. So prior to me coming over to Stomp, I performed with a company based out of D.C. called Step Africa, where we specialize in our form of stepping, which was created by African-American college students way back in the early 1900s. That percussive dance style really translates to some of the things that happen in the show Stomp, and is what had me so excited to go and stand in that nice long line in New York so that I could be a part of this, you know, great show. And you know, it's led me here, and I can tell you, I am not at all mad at it. I tell my friends all the time, it's kind of unfair that I get to beat on trash can lids and call it work.
And get a paycheck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish somebody would give me a paycheck for doing that, I got to tell you. But here's the other thing, and I know the answer to this question. Every time I see a show, it's like going to see Aladdin, Disney's Aladdin, and you see the stuff that the genie does, and you just say to yourself, he is improvising this. And then, of course, during that show, I do a show called Backstage, where I get to talk to the folks who create it. And, of course, the answer I got was, oh, no, absolutely not. You can't improvise because certain lines, certain whatever, those are sound cues. Those are lighting cues, so you better not be doing
right.
It. It's the same thing in Stomp. You watch it, and there seems to be a sense of we're kind of just going with the flow. So let's just be candid. Is there any of that, or is every beat, every move, is it all scripted out?
Well, okay. I'm going to let you in on the little secret.
Just
that
me and you. Won't tell anybody.
There is a tremendous amount of improvisation that happens in Stomp.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we have a really tight framework. But one of the things that makes it so fun to come out and see multiple times is every time you come to see a Stomp show, the likelihood of it being different is pretty much 100%. So we travel with 12 performers, but 8 people perform every night, and we swing in and out of different roles. So, for instance, I played 3 different roles. And that means that when I'm playing a certain role on a certain day with the combination of a different cast, that show is going to feel a little different because we may bounce off of each other differently. We may improvise a little differently. So you could literally come and check us out on Saturday afternoon at 2:00 and then come back and check us out Saturday night at 8:00 and experience the show in 2 very, very different ways.
So unlike a more traditional show, if there's a notice in our program that says, hey, so-and-so is understudying or so-and-so is in for so-and-so, I now know I'm in for probably a different experience than I had at a different performance.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing with our show is there are no understudies. We just play multiple roles. So every night is just a different cast. You know, all 12 cast members, like I said, we all play multiple roles, and we just kind of jump in and do some different things on different nights so that the audience always has something fresh to take a look at.
Well, it is a great deal of fun. If you haven't seen Stomp, you really got to check it out. It's at the Broadway Playhouse. Tickets can be gotten at BroadwayInChicago.com. And also, you can go to StompOnline.com, tickets, or at least to check out information about the show. How long have you been in the show now, Artis?
This is my 3rd tour with the show.
Oh, cool. Congratulations. I hope you keep it. But now you're home, right?
That's right. That's right.
You got family here, so you're kind of staying and seeing the family?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's always great to get to perform at home. You know, I love this city. You know, born and raised here, so it's really cool. You know, I think one of the most awesome things that I've had the chance to do while I'm here is literally just kind of walk down Michigan Avenue and see cabs go by with the show that I'm in riding. and I think that's something, it's like, you know, it's a nice feeling. So, you know, it's really great to be home.
Well, I hope if they're caught at a red light, you go up and start tapping on their roof and stuff and, you know.
Yeah, there we go.
Start doing some stomp stuff. I love it. Artis Olds, a performer in Stomp. You don't want to miss him. You don't want to miss his fellow cast members. Again, at the Broadway Playhouse, it's playing, I think, just till December 30th, right? There's no extension going on, as far as I know.
Nope, no extension. So you have two more weeks about to come and check us out. You know, we've had some really great crowds come through, and Chicago's been showing up and having a really great time. We can't wait to see you guys there.
It's also a great environment to do it, and I take my backstage show in that theater with that audience, so I know the view from the stage, and I know the view from the audience, and I got to tell you, it's a perfect place to do Stomp. I've seen Stomp at some of our larger theaters, and that's great, but this is really cool. It's the way the show should be done if you really want to have an audience interactive experience.
Absolutely. It's about 500 people, and what I love about it is standing on stage, I can make eye contact with the person in the very last row.
Yeah, exactly. Could be me. You never know. I'll be up front. All right, Heart of Souls, thank you for joining me. The show is Stomp. Don't miss it. It's great Chicago fun. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yeah, let it go. Let what go? Well, you'll find out if you go see The Full Monty, the Broadway musical, over at the Theo Ubique Theater in its brand new location in Evanston, which congratulations to my guests on the new space. Talk about new and improved. The last space was great, but this was really just so appropriate for the work you guys do. Let me introduce you to my guests so you can learn all about The Full Monty, which is going to be playing at the Theo Ubique Theater until January 27th. And joining me is the director and our artistic director of the theater, Fred Anzavino, returns because we've talked before, Fred, on the podcast. Welcome back. Good to talk to you.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
All right. And, you know, it's an ensemble cast. There's lots of stars in it. But if you're going to pick two stars, these are the two you want to talk to, along with everybody else, to be honest. But anyway, joining me, Matt Fry. He plays Jerry Lukowski, the guy who's just trying to give a good life to his son. And Nick Trzbanski, who plays Dave Bukatinski, who's trying to give a good life to his wife, I guess one would say. Matt, Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having us.
So I saw the show on Broadway originally with Patrick Wilson, with that original cast, Andre DeShields, the whole bit. So I've seen the show many times over the years. And Fred, bringing the show back now, given the fact this was David Yazbek's first musical Broadway show, and if people didn't know that or not sure who he is, that's the band's visit guy. This guy is, I think, one of the greatest lyricists, music writers on Broadway today. I interviewed him recently for Tootsie when it was here, and just told him that I just think he's amazing. Fred, what led you to feel that The Full Monty is the show you wanted to open up a new space with and tell the listeners about the new space?
Well, Paul, you know, it's very difficult when you have to choose a show that you're going to inaugurate your new space with, you know. So about 2 years ago, this whole process began, and I would come into this room here, which I'm sitting in right now. It was kind of like warehouse looking, and it just had a very muscular feel to it when I was just sitting here alone thinking, how the hell do you open a new space? What show do you want to give them? And a couple of shows came into mind, but The Full Monty just kept coming into my head. You played Let It Go. And, you know, I was at 15 years at the No Exit Cafe, and a lot of people are like, oh, are you sure you want to move? And there was a lot of concern if the intimacy issues will still be the same in the new space. And I would just be, you know, let it go. So in some ways, that kind of feels appropriate in this new space. Everybody just needs to let it go, accept, forgive. And plus, I think that's the universal theme of the show.
I think that's right.
And, you know, there's forgiveness in this show. You know, men and what men's roles are in society today are a lot different than what men's roles in society, even when this show first opened in the 80s. You know, where we are today is a lot different. And it does have an element in the second act of forgiveness and moving forward.
Without question.
Letting it go.
So then there's so many different themes in this show. I mean, that just themes that come through, be it different lifestyles, be it relationships developing, just so many of the challenges we all face. And Matt Fry, you play Jerry Lukowski. So let me, and he's clearly a lead in the show. Talk to me about what the plot of the Full Monty is, because some people might say, wait, wasn't that a movie?
Well, yeah, it was a movie. It was, you know, a British movie that was released in 1997, I believe. And so that was obviously placed in the UK, but this one's in Buffalo. So it's basically a bunch of steel workers out of work for 18 months. And, you know, they're just trying to get their lives back together after this major, major change. And, you know, Jerry's life is essentially falling apart. I mean, he lost his wife. They're thinking about taking away his kid because he can't afford, you know, his child support. And, you know, Fred was talking about forgiveness. And, you know, we kind of talked about, like, what does Jerry want? And what do these guys want? And I kind of settled on Jerry is seeking redemption. Redemption of, you know, his life with his wife, but more so taking care of his kid. And, you know, there's lots of themes of this, like, what is masculinity in this, which is kind of a tricky subject nowadays, but just being able to take care of your own, protect your child, all of that, whether that's, you know, financially or just, you know, in life. So that's what Jerry kind of wants through this entire thing, and I think a lot of the guys do throughout the entire show.
And Nick, your character, Dave Bogatinsky, and you have a duet, actually, with the character who plays Harold Nichols. The song is called You Rule My World, which is really, again, Yazbek tradition, a beautiful, beautiful song. And it'll surprise people because one could think you might be thinking or talking about your wife in the show. And I guess
right.
you sort of are. We won't ruin that. But Nick, talk to me about the guys in this show. What's really amazing, you know, you go to see a Broadway show and everybody on stage with all due, and take this the right way, everybody's pretty. Everybody could be they're the next Tom Cruise, they're the next whatever. And when you come see the Full Monty, we're seeing ourselves.
Right. And I think that's the whole idea of the show, is that it's six guys who are down on their luck and they're not Chippendales, you know? They're not...
But they want to be.
We have one guy at the beginning of the show who sort of sets up the idea that what an actual professional stripper should be like. And then you've got these six guys who are various body types, you know? Dave is a bigger guy, and he's insecure about his weight. And that, you know, inability to love himself really gets in the way of him being able to fully love his wife and communicate with his friends. And so the play really does explore how this toxic masculinity gets in the way of men being able to talk to each other about the things they're insecure about and their vulnerabilities. And through this process of trying to make money putting on the strip show, they come into contact with that and sort of try and overcome those vulnerabilities.
And Matt, I want to come back to you for a moment. What I love about this show, too, and you all do it, this theater is so intimate, the space is so intimate, that although I've seen this show several times in other venues, I don't ever remember the cast, and I realize this is Fred's direction, I'm sure, playing with the audience as you guys do. We're too close to not play with us, Matt.
Exactly. You guys are right there, and you're another character in the show. And I think that it's so fun because, you know, I've played a lot of small spaces, but I've never been really granted the freedom to ask the audience for, like, the answer to my question, you know?
Right.
Because that's what you talk about, like, you know, especially with these solos, like Breeze Off the River, you know, it's me on stage with my sleeping son, and it's, like, kind of seeking these, like, big questions, you know, and seeking answers from you guys that are right there, and then able to do little asides, you know, like, oh, this guy, like, come on, can you see, you know? It's just, it's super fun, and I think the audience really... really loves it. I think I see smiles on people's faces, especially when Jonathan, who plays Harold, he's like the master of playing with the audience, and it's just so fun to watch him. And I don't know, it's just a great space and great to have another character in the play, you know, that is the audience.
Well, as one of those people who the cast was playing with a little bit out there, I can tell you, yes, it is great fun to do that. Fred, the season, of course, is going to include the Bridges of Madison County, Hedwig, and people can go to the website, which is Theo, T-H-E-O. EO-U.com. But we'll talk about the other shows as they come up. But just talk about the experience of being at Theo Ubuque, because what I love about it, and I in part of my review that I wrote of the show was, you know, this is the only theater I can think of where you can have dinner before the show, and you really ought to do it. The night I was there, it was great to see the actor playing Jeanette kind of setting some things. I was watching the actors kind of do their thing. Man, I saw you arrive and kind of go across it. It's sort of fun to be a part of the action even before it begins with dinner, Fred.
Yes, it's an open space. It's cabaret theater. It's communal. It's community. It's festive. It's music and beverages and cocktails and dinner, which all brings us all together for one evening of a communal experience that's intimate, and people actually can say hello to each other in this room. And it's fun to have an open environment where the audience can take a little peek of what you can meet the cast who's waiting on your tables if they're your server ahead of time, and you can see someone setting their props and say hello. I don't want people sneaking around actors. I want them actually to participate in the communal evening. And so I love that. And I've always had that vision in my heart. And as we continue to grow, I hope it gets more and more so in this new environment.
Absolutely. And Matt, I know you did the Full Monty before. You did it with Kokandi. And I saw that performance. Yep. I'm just curious, just a brief question, but sort of doing it in that environment, it was also a relatively intimate environment, but not like this. Does it affect your character at all, or the way you play the character, depending on the environment you're doing it in?
I mean, yeah, sure. No performance is ever the same. Every night. I mean, whether the Kokandi production, every single production is always different. Every single time you do it is always different. So being in such an intimate space and being able to, talk to the audience, I mean, you might get a different reaction. I mean, you're definitely going to get a different reaction from different things that you say. And I mean, my little asides to the audience, those are always different depending on who I'm talking to. So, it definitely influences the show, not just production to production, but night to night. So no matter how many times you come see this show, Nick is going to do something different. Jonathan is going to say something different to you. You're going to get something different every single time. And that's just the beauty of live theater. And it's the beauty of doing something that, like Fred said, is a communal thing where the audience is a part of the show.
Which, Nick, could be a challenge because this is called the Full Monty, and we get the Full Monty, right? And certainly you guys are down in various parts of Undress for parts of the show. None of it is distasteful. It's all well done. It was a very successful Broadway show and whatever. So, but my question for you, Nick, is that difficult knowing you're so close to the audience and yet, off's coming the shirt, off's coming the pants. Do you think about that, or you're an actor and you say, no, it doesn't matter?
I mean, it is interesting. It was nerve-wracking at the beginning, and it's funny how, I don't know, Matt, if you agree, but it's funny how normal it seems now, having done the show for 2 weeks. It's just like, yep, here I go, taking my clothes off again for these strangers. but I think it also, as a part of the show, it's the climactic moment of these men sort of accepting themselves for who they are. So the nerves are there, but it's part of the show. Like, the nerves need to be there in order for that moment to work, I think.
Yeah. Fred, I have to ask you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Before we wrap up, in the past, the dinners are always sort of related. I've always felt the dinners were always related to what show you were seeing. So when I saw Chess, we had kind of a Russian stew thing. I know when you did Sweeney Todd, you had meat pie. This was
right.
Chicken. I could make an argument for why chicken would be served when we're watching this, but
no, it was a little difficult to find we outsource catering, and because it's a new venue, and our dinner prices are pretty low. It was very hard, and we had the same dinner prices we had last year. It's very hard to find a caterer, a good caterer that will take the price of what we're offering. So it was, and the first one we had canceled out, and the second one now that we have, which I think is a very good, they're called Soul, I shouldn't have mentioned their name, Soul Food and something.
Okay.
Soul and Barbecue, but they came up with just a general. It was almost too late to add that extra element, but rest assured, the next show we will have that themed dinner, go back to that.
Yeah,
so we played it a little safe this time.
I'm afraid of what Hedwig and the Angry Inch might bring us on the plate, but that's all right.
Oh, dear.
guys, congratulations.
Such one more thing I want to say,
yeah,
Paul.
Sure.
Sawyer Smith, we have to give him some credit for the beautiful choreography that he brought to our stage. He's one of the best in Chicago.
Absolutely. And by the way, I've mentioned David Yazbek. I should mention Terrence McNally, too, who wrote the book.
Absolutely, yes.
Just such a great show. I was so, when I first saw you were opening in the new space with this show, I had it on my calendar for months and months and months and months because I just knew this was one I did not want to miss. And you don't want to miss, to my listeners, The Full Monty. It's playing through January 27th at this new space for Theo Ubiquue, which is 721 Howard Street in Evanston. Theo, theo-u.com. You don't miss this show. It's such fun. Congratulations to all of you guys. And if you hang with me as I thank you, I want to play out one of the songs that I can't get out of my head since I saw the show.
So what I want, that's easy. I want to understand how I got to be a loser and I used to be a man. And I don't know where I'm going and I don't know why I'm here. All I know is that the future will include another beer.
And that's important.
And finally, I want to take a look at one of the, I tell you, I saw this show recently. It blew me away. And I said, I've got to talk to a member of this cast. It's at the Steppenwolf Theater Company, which, of course, everything Steppenwolf does is amazing. It's called Familiar. It is written by Danae Gurira, and it is directed by Danya Taymor, who, when I saw that name, I said, relation to Julie Taymor? It is. And it is playing now through January 13th. Joining me, is an actress who plays such an incredible character in this show. Celeste Cooper plays Nyasha. Yeah. And Celeste, thanks for joining me to talk about this show.
Yes, no problem.
It's also such a great, Cheryl Lynn Bruce, Aura Jones, everybody in the show, so amazing.
Jacqueline Williams, it's amazing. The dream team of women.
yes. And men.
And men.
All right. For folks who have not seen it yet, what is Familiar all about?
So Familiar is basically, it's a winter in Minnesota, and a Zimbabwean-American family is preparing for the wedding of their eldest daughter. And then an unexpected guest arrives, and the bride surprises the family by insisting on a traditional African ceremony. And pre-wedding, stress explodes into a full-on family feud.
Right, and it's a comedy.
Yes, it is a comedy, but it definitely has its, it gets into its intense drama moments.
Absolutely. And by the way, I'm guessing you get a standing ovation every night. I don't know. You certainly got it the night I saw the show.
Yes, we have. It's been really great.
Just amazing. And so, first of all, it was written by, as I said, Danae Gurira. I hope I'm saying her name
right. Deny. Yeah.
Okay. I said it, I wasn't sure I was getting it right. So deny. Yeah. And that's shame on me because that it's certainly an actress I know, not only just a playwright, but an actress. And tell folks why it is that they should know it, and then they should be mad at me for mispronouncing her name.
Oh, I don't think anybody should be mad at you. I think it's just learning people's names are definitely important.
Right.
Thing that we all have to work on, right?
Me too.
I've asked several times how to say it correctly myself.
But she is also known for her acting career.
Yes, she is. Yes, The Walking Dead, big fan of that show. And then Black Panther.
She's
an amazing part on that.
Exactly. So Yeah, so I thought that was, to see her fine work there and then, see the play that she's written here was just amazing. You yourself, you're one of the newer members of the ensemble over at Steppenwolf.
I
saw you in Doppelganger. So you're working with an incredible group of people.
Yeah, it's been a huge blessing. I've been like a kid in a candy store with all the different shows that I've done thus far with incredible just a team of actors and people even behind the scenes. It's really been great.
Talk about your character a little bit, because you talked about this traditional African wedding and all of that, but then your character is a really interesting spin to this whole thing.
Yeah, so actually Danae was saying that this is the first show that she actually wrote kind of closer to her. Because she usually didn't want to write shows that, were too personal. She basically wants to answer a question that's been spinning in her mind, and then she wonders, has she ever seen anything quite like that before? So even her doing this show, she ended up writing it because she realized it's just not a show, it's not a show you hear much about, basically, it's great for immigrants and first generation, people. because it just, and it actually just connects with so many, actually everyone. Everyone has their way in, which is the amazing part into the show. But my character, Nyasha, is actually like a representation of her. And so, like, I basically was born in Minnesota, and my parents were born in Zimbabwe. So my older sister, the one, is the one that's coming home to get married in Minnesota. But yeah, I'm like the youngest. I'm the artist, the singer, songwriter, feng shui consultant. And my sister's a lawyer, dad's a lawyer. Like, everyone has these big jobs. And so I've kind of, my character is kind of like hoping to, well, not even hoping, because she's very strong in who she is, but there is like a interesting need that she might not even realize she's aware of needing to be seen and validated in a way of like, hey, what I do is just as, you know, it's just as, you know, awesome as the different things that you all do. And yeah, I think that's a big thing that she's trying to figure out. And then she also spent some time in Zimbabwe with one of her aunts that lives there. And after really that experience too, she just realized there were so many things her parents didn't, you know, teach her about her culture and her heritage. And so she's like, why didn't you teach me how to, you know, speak Shona and everything? Like, I'm just so assimilated, so American. And there's just this big part of myself that I'm yearning to understand more of. And my parents didn't necessarily focus on making sure I understood it. So there's a big craving throughout the play as well of, like, you know, the reason I, you know, this isn't the way it is because you didn't teach me this and you didn't do this, whatever. So I kind of stir up some stuff a little bit because I'm asking questions that typically don't get asked, I guess, especially earlier on the play.
Yeah, very
much. By the way, unexpected guest.
and by the way, and I hope I'm not, you play an instrument, and so I hope the answer is yes, but you're actually playing
yes.
that? You're actually playing that, right?
Well, so I used to, yes. So the instrument is the mbira. So I did actually learn to play it, but the actual space of the theater, it wasn't really filling the space acoustically the way we needed to. So we ended up putting a speaker inside the instrument. But yeah, I had like 5 lessons to learn it. And so it was very difficult to play and sing at the same time. So there was a lot of factors that played into it. But yeah, the first round of previews, I definitely was doing both of it. But it's just, it wasn't that loud in the space.
Incredibly talented you are, and the cast is. And I mean, it's any show that can take you from the traditions of Africa to Rachel Maddow seamlessly.
Yeah.
It's a show that's got a lot going to it. As I said, when I went to see it, I was absolutely blown away, and I so appreciate your time. It's playing at Steppenwolf Theater through January 13th. It really is one not to be missed. I don't say that lightly. This is just incredible performances.
It's
incredible.
Very special.
Very, very much so. The website is steppenwolf.org. So happy you're a part of the ensemble over there. And I'll I've met so many of the ensemble members and work with them in many ways. I'm looking forward to have that experience with you one day and getting to chat about other shows. Thank you for joining me, Celeste Cooper.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you.
You have a great run of the show.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.